Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Tiananmen Square thought they were their constituents.
Bro, we're not calling the National Guard on the crawfish boil. Dude.
No, we need to have
people
a stand
off crawfish.
We need to have people get paid for a lot of things. That doesn't make them right. That doesn't make them just. And this is where I stand. Don't let me catch you eating crawfish. Prison. All right? Now, if I was president of the United States, I would write an executive order. That's what I would do.
Oh, you'd be impeached.
Thank you.
All right, we'll come back. Grizzlies preseason tonight. Talk about that, what we're hoping for in the second preseason game at FedEx Forum. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. Blacktop Movement is changing moving in the city of Memphis. Whether you're moving cross town, cross country, they can handle that move for you. Get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. They are the best. Seriously. I have heard horror stories of people trying to book with different moving companies that maybe are offering a sweet deal. It turns out, too good to be true. That's a good lesson. If it seems too good to be true, it usually is. The moving company didn't even exist. Okay? People have been defrauded trying to go with moving companies. You never have to worry about that with Black Tie. They show up when they say they're going to show up. They stay on budget. They are the absolute best. I've used them twice. I would know. But you got to get on the schedule. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Blacktop Moving, and they're changing moving the city of Memphis. Every day around this time, we do a little thing we call the rundown. Let's go. All right, a couple of items. Grizzlies, Celtics tonight on 92.9 FM ESPN. Make sure you keep it locked there. Also want to shout out Grizz Beat, episode 2, drops 3 o'clock with Jason Smith.
Thank you for that.
He'll be previewing the game with a panel of experts.
We got a job to do here first.
They're for Grind City Media. Absolutely. Just want to show some love. You
Thank
know what
you.
I'm saying? Because I do expect that when you know I have things going on. You know, this is only for my benefit in the end. So just want to get that out there.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, it's another opportunity for the Memphis Grizzlies who, you know, are trying to, you know, win games is not really the right thing. But get some guys going, I think, is really the ultimate goal here. Specifically, we want to see Cedric Howard have a bounce back.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to have a better night tonight against the Boston Celtics. I think he will, because that Celtics team is going to be a mess defensively. So now is sort of the time. Get him some confidence. Get him, like, that to me is like the objective tonight.
I agree with you. I think, you know, we know what you've got in KCP and Ty Jerome. We saw it the first game.
Exactly.
I don't need those guys, you know, because to John's point, I don't care if I win or not. I don't need those guys playing a ton of minutes because I think I know what I got.
Exactly.
I feel pretty good about those vets and what they're going to bring to the table. It's about those other guys, man, like you mentioned. It's about Gigi. It's about Vince. It's about, you know, especially if you're not going to have Ja Morant, which if you did, you know, that's a different thing because then I'm trying to get those guys up to speed with Ja. But right now, I want to see the guys with the question marks on them. And here's the other thing. John's talked about this. Boston, look at that front court. It's a mess.
Yep.
And so for a front court that was handled, has injury issues going into the season, obviously, but was handled by Detroit on a couple of nights ago, you want to see them play better. You know, you'd like to see Jock Landale around the basket and be able to finish against the Celtics team. Doesn't look like they're going to have much to stop him in the way of bigs. I mean, keep in mind, I mean, Horford's gone, right? That thing's been gutted. And so tonight you'd like to see yourself have, even with Jaren, some of those key guys out, you'd like to see yourself have a little bit more success around the rim, particularly with your bigs against a team that doesn't have any from what I can tell.
Right.
Now, this will be Boston's first game It's not, you know, this is your second. We haven't seen him yet. So we have no clue on what their plan is. But no Porzingis. I mean, that's the part that Boston, obviously Jason Tatum out with the Achilles rupture. But, you know, what they're going to do with that front court, we got no idea that's going to pan out. This needs to be a night where you can you dominate. I see Boston's favored tonight.
Yeah, Boston's favored.
I mean, you're banged up. I get it. But yep. And they've got, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, you know, guys like that. But still.
Yeah.
I would hope the Grizzlies can at least be, effective
exactly.
up front. You know, even shorthanded.
Yeah, I mean, look, Boston is not a big team. You know, they're just they lost all their.
I don't know who they got in there anymore. Seems like they're all gone. Porzingis, Horford. Yeah. Who was the other? Didn't Cornette go somewhere?
Yeah, Cornette's with the Spurs, bro. Dude, their starting five is
wow.
Do you have because they have
Nemias Queta?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I mean, come on. Like, X-Man, Xavier Tillman's back tonight.
Now, you don't have your front court pieces, but this is still a game I want to see, whether it's Gigi, whether it's Santi, whether it's, you know, those guys handling themselves on the glass, finishing around the basket.
Exactly.
Landale, one of those guys. That's Jock, we know you can hit a couple. We can hit threes.
Yep.
Let's get in there and see if we can finish around the basket for when Ja gets back.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to need it.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, especially with this time Zach Edey's out.
Yeah. So, I think that's kind of what I'm looking for, right? And I'm sure, this will all be discussed later on Grizzbeat in terms of objectives, but my main thing is, all right, let's see if these guys who really need to prove it, I understand that, you want to win every game, you take the floor, but it's like, this is one where it's like, I'm just going to give Gigi and Cedric Howard the run. It's going to be those two. Like, they're going to get the lion's share of the minutes to, because they didn't against
Detroit.
Detroit, yeah, they did. They just didn't. So I need to know what I've got in Gigi at this point. I mean, now it's like I either I have some or I don't. And I'm not saying that like you're going to decide that definitively after a preseason game, but if I give him 25 minutes tonight and he gives me another 8.3 rebound performance, my picture is becoming clear. It just is. And I have to get Cedric Howard confidence. Like I have no – that's non-negotiable. And I think this is the team to do it against. I know Celtics are favored. I maybe they should be given everything that the Grizzlies are missing. But if we can't get a, 8 of 17 type performance from Cedric Howard tonight against this group,
I'd love to see Howard take 17 shots. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like this doesn't count
against Anthony Simons and them,
right?
Jalen,
I mean,
he may draw Jalen Brown. He might.
But Jalen Brown ain't finna play that much. I can't believe he played that much.
Detroit didn't play its starters more than 19 minutes. Right. I think we didn't play ours more than 21.
I think Cedric Howard 25 minute night, bro, minimum. Him and Gigi Jackson both like. Use this to your advantage, because they're not going to get these kinds of minutes in the regular season.
Well, and to your point, I'm sort of limited in my implementation of my system as Isolo now because I don't have three starters.
You don't have the guys you need.
You know, so why not at this point?
Right.
I don't care about winning the game.
Right.
What I care about is seeing these guys, as I said, with question marks. I need to see Gigi. I need to see Coward get his legs underneath him. And get more acclimated to the program because right now you can't even install much with so much gone. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
It's because it's a completely different game when you got John Moran on the floor.
That's exactly right. You
and
have to
simulate it. With
you have to
guys.
Sit down. You have to ask yourself, all right, what can I get
what
out
are
of
my
this
priorities
game?
Here tonight? Yes.
And to me, there's only
We're
one.
We're on
the
same page.
You know, it's like I can't get Ja more accustomed to running pick and rolls with Jaren. That's out of the equation. So I gotta maximize this opportunity.
I can't even do it with Ja and Landale.
Can't even do it with them
because it would be key because he's gonna be the guy for Edey until we get till November.
Right.
What it is, can't do that.
That's exactly. Right.
So what's your priorities? You and I both agree.
Yeah.
Seeing those guys that have gotta show. It's time to show something.
I would be honest. I wouldn't even mind. I wouldn't even mind if Jerome and KCP didn't
don't play. I knew where you were going.
Like, don't even put him out there.
I'm really fine with it with KCP.
Yeah,
veteran.
If you want to tie Jerome to handle the ball, fine.
Yeah, just a little more. But, because again, Ty Jerome could be handling off.
No, that's true.
Ja Morant gets hurt. and it goes into the regular season.
That's fine. But you can play Ty Jerome.
You and
give
I
KCP
agree.
The veteran night off.
John, I said give KCP the night off tonight.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think we've made this official. Brad, do you agree with that? We don't give KCP the
you
night off?
You need him for the season. I agree.
I mean, I think we've done a really good job with the game plan here.
I can feel you feel like we've done a good job.
When
nobody down there is listening to our good job,
I'm
but I feel
saying,
like we've done one,
you,
and I feel like you feel like we've done
one. When you joined Grand City Media, I didn't realize you were joining the Grizzly staff. I mean, I thought you were just doing the. But
he's
now,
keeping it real. But now, though, he's keeping it
but
real.
But now you like, you know, you got the clipboard out, man. You telling guys who's in, who's out. It's unbelievable.
That's what they're doing with Ja, isn't it? They're essentially ankling him through. Okay, let's rock and roll for
well,
the night.
I think he did sprain his ankle, but I think.
But that makes it convenient to put that out there because they didn't hammer it.
I'm getting him in a preseason game again to get him around all my guys who don't know what it's like to play with Ja Morant.
That's fair.
Like so, I especially if it's as we said, all reports indicated that all folks that had eyes on him on Monday. That he seems to be fine
right.
in terms of the way that he walked around.
Exactly.
So, again, I think getting a preseason game in or two doesn't have to be tonight, obviously, but getting one in beforehand, it's key for your other guys, key for Landale, you know, those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. So
coward to get up to Jospy.
Look, nobody will ever remember if you won or lost, but they will remember how you made them feel. They won't.
The feeling you gave them, they'll remember how you made them feel. Well, that's right, John.
They will never remember what you did for work. They will never remember what you did at your job or whatever, but they will remember how you made them feel. And I think if you start Cedric Coward and you give that man 25 minutes tonight and you let him absolutely cook, he will remember that. And he will go into this season with confidence, no matter – because his role may not be that. His role may be – you know, sixth man, seventh man, whatever the case, and you come in and your energy and your scoring punch and all those things. But, you know, let's give him that opportunity to blossom in this preseason. When it doesn't matter. You know, if I post that he has 1 point and everybody just, they can't wait to say that Kobe Bryant also had no points in his preseason debut, you know? So it clearly doesn't matter to people. So let him go out. And let him ask.
I hate that people went and dug that up.
Yes, they did.
Because that just helps continue this unfair thing that we're doing to Cedric Coward because some GM or whatever it was.
Right.
You know.
Tough. I mean, I just think
Coach
like.
Thorpe or whoever.
Personally.
Who's ever got y'all high on the hall.
Like, I really would not have. Like
take it easy.
If an executive would have called me personally and told me that, I would not have gone with it. I would have told him, you know, I respect your perspective on that, but I feel like these two gentlemen's names should be off limits in player comps. Like I said.
Especially rookie player comps, man. Wait a little while on a player to be in the league first you start comparing them to Hall of Famers.
Who missed a half year of college.
What are we talking about?
We don't even compare Anthony Edwards to those two. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
So how on our world?
That's on us.
You can't do it.
The people that are doing this.
And disservice.
And he, like, because he can still be a really good basketball player and not be those two guys, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think that's the thing here. But
hopefully a good chance of that.
We've sort of been
for the Grizzlies.
Sold this
Cedric Coward
idea, and it's just like, come on, man. It's not. Now,
well, we do, though.
Now, look, I'm not holding him to that. That's ridiculous, okay? That's just patently absurd.
I mean, as a society, it's not what you and I do.
No, exactly.
Right?
We live in a society. There is no doubt about that.
Find the next one, the next legend, the next great thing.
You know, and you can be the – don't be the next Kobe Bryant, man. Be the first Cedric Coward. Know what I'm saying?
Beautifully said, John.
I just think that's what we need to do. And let him cook.
Is he 6'6", y'all? Is that they list him at 6'6". He does not look like 6'6" when you see him on the court, if we're talking about comparisons. Just talking about what the player is.
Yeah, I think the whole thing was his wingspan. The whole thing is
over a 7-foot wingspan.
Yeah,
right?
So it really doesn't matter how tall you are when you have a 7-foot wingspan.
Because I want to tell you that Jalen Wells is like 6'5". Mm-hmm. I mean, Jalen Williams in OKC is 6'5", but he's got the 7-foot wingspan. That's what they're saying Coward can be, but he's only 6'5".
For defensive purposes, he can get in
he
there.
He might be 6'6", or so. But
Blake Griffin was like, you know, 6'10", 6'11", but he had a short wingspan. So, it was effectively.
It was Bane's problem as a defender sometimes.
Yeah, he was a
pterodactyl.
Looks like a grown man. To me, is what he looks like. We're going to need him on the glass. I need him to use that grown man body.
The wingspan
is impressive.
The wingspan is nuts. I mean, it's just it's insanity. But anyway, hopefully he can get going tonight and get cooking, and we can feel much better about things on that front. Again, preseason. If he has, if he struggles again, he struggles again. But I would at least, you know, hey man, you got to go in the pool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm throwing your ass in the pool, and it's time to swim, dog. I mean, and you may need some help. I mean, when I was 5 years old, man, I was in St. Louis on vacation. I don't know how I snuck out of the hotel room with my aunt and uncle, and I said, I'm going to the pool. And I was 5 years old. I didn't know how to swim. I had
that's scary.
I had a big Shamu. I had a big Shamu float. Oh, I jumped in there was nobody at this pool, bro. I said, you know what? This is my moment. I'm going to jump in this pool in the deep end. I got the float. No matter what, I'm cool. So I jump in the pool. I'll never forget this. I jump in the pool, and the float slips from under my arms. And so now I'm in this deep end, and I cannot swim, and there's nobody at this pool, and my aunt and uncle are in the hotel room, and nobody knows I'm gone, and I'm about to drown. And I can feel myself drowning. I'm inhaling the water. I'm about to.
This feels like a nightmare.
This is a real story?
It's a real 100% story.
This is scaring the piss out of me. 100%
story. And I'm five, 6 years old at most. And I swear to God, this woman had to be my guardian angel. She dove in. I didn't even see her when I jumped in.
That's
I don't
God.
Know where she came from.
God looking
she
out
dove
for you.
In Divine and intervention. She brought me to the side of the pool to where I could start to breathe again. And I could, you know, I didn't drown in that pool because I was drowning. There's no question about it. And I don't know where she went. I don't know her name. I don't know. I did not see her when I came. I was alone at this pool. Wow. And she came out of nowhere, seriously. And I definitely felt like that was the closest I've ever been to death. And I definitely felt like that's divine intervention to the absolute fullest, that I could have and probably should have died that day and drowned in that pool in St. Louis.
Are you saying Cedric Coward is you in the pool in St. Louis?
I'm saying that even if he does go in the pool and the float slips from underneath him, you know, he's got teammates to lift him up, all right? That's all
he
I'm saying.
He's getting the floaties? He's getting a relief?
But he needs to sneak out of that hotel room and get in that damn pool. All right, that's what we got to do. So 25 plus minutes minimum tonight for Cedric Coward.
I'm good with that.
So that he can be the player.
Feature him.
We hope he can be. So, but you can't do that if you have him in this sort of 19 minutes a game. You know, only taking. Man, let that man take 20 shots, bro. Sit KCP.
John says put him in.
Limited minutes for Ty Jerome. GG Jackson and Cedric Coward are my cogs tonight. Mm. That's who I want to see get the most usage. That's who I want to see get the, because it's literally. It's risk-free.
There you go, Isolo.
It's a risk-free proposition. So anyway, shout out to Cedric Coward. Shout out to that guardian angel that saved my life in St. Louis.
Made it, John.
Wherever she is.
Man, seriously, I hope she is wealthy and having a great, prosperous life because she saved a five-year-old little boy that day.
Saved
seriously.
A little baby.
Man. I mean,
little John.
I was drowning, man.
I mean, a five-year-old in the pool is a baby to me.
Yeah, it is.
Jump in there.
I didn't know what the hell I was
saved
doing.
Wow. And didn't look for any credit, apparently.
She just,
I mean,
she saved me, and then that,
moved on.
I don't know where she went.
So
man.
Your mom never even met her? Then?
No, my mom wasn't there. It's my aunt.
Well, how do you know that it wasn't an angel?
It might have been an angel.
I don't know that it was an angel because I did not see anybody else.
And so did that spur you on? Did that spur you on to become like an elite swimmer and learn how to swim?
No. Well, I mean, I would. I don't know. I know how not to drown.
You're not a relatively. You're a decent swimmer now.
I can dog paddle. I can.
That saved your life.
I don't want to like fall off a cruise or something, but. You know, I could definitely dog paddle, but there is definitely, I think we all
teach your kids to swim, by the way.
Absolutely. We do. Both my kids are in those classes, right? Because we have a pool and it's important. But I do think everybody has that one moment maybe in their life, that one story where they truly feel like they were, there was this divine intervention that you can't explain that maybe changed the course, the chart of their life. And that was definitely mine at 5 years old. I should have died in that pool. There's no doubt about it. I've never told that story, but
never heard it.
I hadn't heard it.
It's it absolutely happened, and you know, in many ways, I'm grateful to be here. So, looking forward to if I had died in that pool, I would not have been able to watch the Grizzlies play the Boston Celtics tonight. Would not have been able to hear them on 92.9, and most importantly, I would not have been able to watch my partner Jason Smith host Grizzby at 3 o'clock on Grind City
Media. Facts.
Jessica Benson pregame 6:30. Make sure you're locked in. Chris Vanini from The Athletic had a tweet this morning. Here's the tweet. My first trip for The Athletic was to Memphis in 2017. On that staff, I met Mike Norvell, Dan Lanning, Kenny Dillingham, Ryan Silverfield, all now head coaches of top 25 teams. So I reconnected with them to look back. There is a great piece. We referenced this up top of the show, first hour. Great piece over at The Athletic done by Chris Vanini looking at the coaching tree. That is this group of guys that came here under Mike Norvell. If you remember, Mike Norvell was 34 years old when he got here in 2016. Silverfield became the offensive line coach. I want to say and run game coordinator, too. But Vanini's got offensive line coach. Dillingham started as a grad assistant. Memphis became the quarterback's coach. And then we know Lanning, Alabama graduate assistant by that point, became the inside linebacker's coach. And the point of this thing, they actually do mention, too, John, another coach. Ball?
Yeah, Chris Ball.
Chris Ball spent five seasons as head coach of Northern Arizona. Dude, I'm thinking they should have mentioned Limbaugh now.
Yeah.
Like you
said. They should have mentioned him.
Vannetti
he was
ties.
There. He was, he wasn't there in 2017. That's why.
That's why he's not tied into the story. But he is a Norvell. Is, I mean, in the sense that, he's a head coach now. He's at Buffalo, as John has pointed out. And I think he's 3-3 this season, but has had some success up there. Was a fantastic special team coach here at Memphis. But this story focuses on those guys in particular, the four we named, and how right now they are all in the top 25 as head coaches. There's some really cool stories in here, some really cool quotes. I won't go through it and read them all. Again, I'd suggest going over to The Athletic and reading it for yourself. But a couple of things I wanted to note. There is one landing quote that I thought was great. Here's what he says about that group. He said, "We were all learning together. Mike was learning what it was like to be a head coach. I was learning how to be a position coach. There was just a level of grit at Memphis that hardened your edge. We had moments where we were unbelievably successful, and then we also had moments where we got our you-know-what kicked. We learned big lessons together." I love that part about a level of grit at Memphis that hardened your edge.
Yep.
As being part of the DNA of these guys as head coaches now, that stop in Memphis obviously, helped shape them in that way, and as Dan Lanning said, harden them in that way. So I thought it was a really cool story. Gabe had a really cool, Gabe, who you can listen to right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, Gabe Kuhn, former Tigers football player, had a really cool story too as it related to this tweet. You can hear him from 4 to 7, by the way. He said, in 2013, he tweeted this earlier, "I decommitted from an FCS school and committed to Memphis. I was told by a coach from that FCS school that I'd never play in front of more than 2,000 people." That's the quote from Gabe there. So obviously assuming that coach was talking about Memphis, he was wrong. And the coaching talent I was around played a huge role in that. Pretty amazing look back. And it is, I agree with Gabe, it's an amazing look back at the group, high-level group that that Mike Norvell had, Silverfield being a big part of it. And, man, just look at where Ryan Silverfield has this thing now.
Yep.
Here's the thing. We said this, too, about this is maximizing your brand power. Memphis has gotten itself back in the rankings by being 6-0, and as a result, boom. Vannini's got a nice easy storyline here about how all four right now are in the rankings. My point is, you've done your part. You're maxing this thing out right now. Got to keep it up. Through the bye, UAB, those games in particular, but then obviously with the big ones against South Florida, Tulane, and Navy. This is fun. This is when you are a nationally relevant football program right now, and the favorite as the group of five the group of five representative in the college football playoff, and you're getting stories like this. This is the power right now. This is the potential that you have in terms of your football program, the investment level. This is the kind of return you want to see.
Yep.
And so I feel great for Ryan Silverfield, for every single guy on that football team right now, because they deserve this love. And it's not just off to a great start. Yeah, that fumble against Arkansas was lucky. Like, the numbers are all better. They're one of the best rushing offenses in the country. I think they're 11th against the run in terms of defensively. We said up to 50th at SP+. So to get this story now, and obviously on the heels of Memphis's great start and as the favorite right now to represent the group of five in the college football playoff, awesome stuff. Again, I suggest you go read it over at The Athletic.
Yeah. All right, we got some NFL news. Joe Flacco's the guy. He's the guy already in Cincinnati. Not much doubt about that, I suppose. But he indeed is going to get the nod at starter against the Packers. He's been there for a day. He's been there for one day. And must really tell you how bad it is with Jake Browning. I don't know why. I can't understand why. I mean, Jake Browning is the only person who can say they've beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars this year at quarterback. He stands alone, man. Just him.
He's played some other games since.
Yeah, he's been bad, and he's been a turnover machine. And I guess the logic is that Flacco will not. But Flacco's turned the ball over 8 times. I mean, he's right there behind Geno in terms of most picks. So that's the part that I don't really. Maybe they're going to blame Cleveland's off. I don't know. But
my thing is, if the locker room has turned on Browning,
right?
Who cares?
That's true.
That's
what seems to happen.
Because the best thing for you at this point is to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. You got slots you need to fill across the offensive line.
Yep.
Slots on the defensive side. We talked about this yesterday. It doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
Who cares? Again, because what else are you going to point to? I feel like Jamar Chase and those guys have kind of said, we got to go a different direction.
Yep.
Or something. Like, there's some sense of urgency to this. It's dead. You need to act like it and lose. That's why you don't go using a draft pick to go get Joe Flacco, man. You got to fill that up again. Use that draft pick to go get you a young body to help protect Joe Burrow. It's got to be about the future. I don't care about the players' frustration right now, the Jamar Chases and the Higgins and those guys. You have to get this fixed. But this, again, is it's just more evidence that this is one of the poorly run franchises in sports, most poorly run franchise in sports. It clearly is.
100%. And so, again, do I think Joe Flacco will change anything for them? No, I do not.
It's a joke.
I would have gone after somebody else.
Just the whole transitive thing about him beating Green Bay, and so now you got Green Bay, so now you think he? I mean, are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
a joke.
I don't think they're serious.
Cleveland's got actual great defense.
Yeah,
he ain't gonna come in to save Cincinnati, which ain't got any defense.
Yeah,
you know,
the ESPN said that they truly did believe that he would be a capable fill-in in Jake Browning and play better than he has.
What's nuts is they didn't even make the call to Instead of make a call to the Giants or anybody
no
else,
Giants,
touched on that yesterday.
Didn't try to go get Kirk Cousins.
So you're not trying to get the best quarterback you can get.
Could have gone and got could have gone out and got Drew Lock in Seattle, who's like the third quarterback there.
I call Giants. I talk about Russell. I talk about Jameis Winston.
Right.
Who I could probably get cheap.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, why does a team need three quarterbacks? I'd have gone after all this.
Especially that team who only cares about the one right now that's playing, Jackson Dart.
Exactly. Very strange situation, I think, in Cincinnati. Don't really understand it. Giving away a fifth rounder for a sixth and Joe Flacco, you're going to end up in the same place, and you're going to have a worse draft pick. So, I mean, I don't know. Is there not a better free agent quarterback out there? Like, surely to God, there's got to be a guy that's comparable to Joe Flacco at this stage.
I get why they don't want Kirk Cousins, the money and everything else. I don't understand why you're trying to convince yourself that we're going to be competitive the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And the best plan is to lose.
Right.
Burrow's out.
Yeah.
Season's done. Maybe they think, okay, Burrow's going to get back, and they're just trying to tread water. Because what did we say, 3 months, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, again, I would consider strongly shutting it down, dude, because I've got so many holes.
Go get Seth Hittigan, man. I would have just soon got Seth Hittigan or somebody like that. Yeah, I mean, I just looked up like available quarterbacks that have NFL experience, and there aren't a ton. There are like C.J. Beathard, Jeff Driskel, Jake Fromm. Those are the guys you're talking about. But still, I would have probably gone with C.J. Beathard. I mean, Beathard filled in for Trevor last year. I mean, can't be that damn bad. A couple other things while I'm on the subject. ESPN did a piece about Geno Smith and his start to the season and how the Raiders feel about it. And the reporting from Jeremy Fowler is that they are mildly concerned. They need him to play better and soon. They are not tied to him much past this season.
Well, another reason why y'all should consider perhaps getting in that Cincinnati boat at some point.
Yes.
You're the best quarterback you can in this upcoming draft.
Yes. They're going to have to pay him no matter what. He's going to make $40 million
Good Lord.
This season, and he has an $18.5 million guarantee for 2026. But, you know, if the worst of it is you got to absorb the $18.5 million for next year in dead money to move on, then you got to do it. I mean, there's just no two ways around it. And it's a very quarterback-heavy draft. You got Nussmeier, you got Sellers, you got the kid from Indiana, who I'm not really a huge fan of. Carson Beck. I feel like I'm missing some other guys. But it's a very, very heavy quarterback draft. And, you know, is there a Joe Burrow in it? I don't know. But the kid, Oregon, Dante Moore, is talked about as the number one pick. Ty Simpson from Alabama, he feels like a pro quarterback to me. Is he exciting? Not really, but neither is Geno Smith, who I thought would be.
That was your word.
Mateer would be fun.
I'll never forget it.
Mateer would be fun. And Geno Smith is exciting for the defense.
Mateer's not really big, is he?
No, he's not. He's not a big guy. I think that's going to hurt him.
Especially for as much as he runs.
Exactly. Right. I mean, that's the problem, is that he's 6'1".
I mean, Baker's short and runs. He's tough.
You can get it done. I was going to say Baker.
You can get it done. I don't know. I think Baker's short and 6'1". I don't feel like he's here, but
I think he's listed around that.
Okay. It feels similar.
Yeah.
And he gets knocked around. Let's be real. I mean, Mateer's a better runner than Baker Mayfield is. It's a different kind of
running. Yeah, they're like the same. But Baker's listed at 6'1", 215. Mm-hmm. John Mateer is 6'1", 224.
You're going to take shots.
Yeah.
Being a 6'1", whatever, 210, 215.
But, it's amazing, though. Baker Mayfield was a bust until he went to Tampa Bay in 2023. Like, he was a guy who was at, he played for the Browns, Carolina, he played for the Panthers. Remember, he played for the Rams, you know, on an emergency situation. I feel like maybe he played for one other team. That was it. So it was the Browns, the Panthers, the Rams, and then the Bucks signed him to a 1-year, $4 million deal in 2023.
It's the Geno story that continues to go on.
It is. It's exactly right.
And they wrote him off.
They 100% wrote him off. I'll never forget it.
Baker didn't run back.
His revival was against the Raiders. Mm. That's when it happened.
Of course.
And he benched Wolford. Initially, it was going to be John Wolford at quarterback. Then he benched him and went to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield and the Rams were trailing 16-3. They ended up winning the game with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. He was 22 of 35 for 230. And that's kind of what started his return, his comeback, right? And now he's one of the most prolific quarterbacks in the NFL. It really doesn't make a lot of sense with Baker. But yeah, I mean, Mateer was probably trying to, follow that mold of, 6'1", underdog, plucky. I'd be fine with that. Dual threat, it'd be fun, good time. But the Geno Smith it's not been exciting. It's not been fun. Again, exciting for the defense when they see him, because it's going to be a feeding frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, it's been really sad to watch. Anyway, that's your NFL update for today.
I have one more NFL story to talk about. I don't know if you saw it. But I'll just read from the ESPN story, because, John, they're going to drive Shedeur Sanders crazy. Stefanski today was noncommittal on whether Shedeur would be the backup and up to number two, something we all, I think all of America, assumed yesterday after Joe Flacco was traded to Cincinnati, that Shedeur goes from 3-2. Do y'all remember how he responded when Dylan Gabriel was named the starter? He didn't. He couldn't even get it out.
That's right.
He was like Miami. He was Charlie Chaplin. And is it like Stefanski? Okay, there's a couple different roads you can go down here, but they may sign back or put back practice squad quarterback Bailey Zappe back as the number two. He's noncommittal on what he's going to do. Clearly, we all assumed this yesterday. If he's not doing it, which he said today he's not, making the decision to bump Shedeur, he doesn't feel like he's ready. Or, man, you just got it in for this dude. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense at this point. Maybe he feels like Shedeur hasn't gotten enough reps in practice. Here's what he said. All roster types of type of things always have to be mindful of our players and our players' development, and I want to make sure that I'm always doing what's best for our players and, of course, our team. But with young players, I'm always thinking about last week making the change to Dylan. You have to think long and hard about that, because these are young players that you are so invested in their development. So I'll let the decision play out and make a decision later. Again, the decision is about who's going to be number two.
Yep.
He's clearly trying to beat around the bush and point to the fact and kind of, say, I'm worried about whether or not he's ready for that spot, whether or not, and whether he is or not. I would tell you, well, that's on you too.
Yep.
And on your organization for drafting him at this point. But if you use a fifth round pick to get him after you used a third round pick to get Dylan Gabriel, and now you're telling me, you haven't seen enough of them to a point that you're ready to bump them up to two? What is the plan, man?
I agree.
Because it doesn't appear there is one. Here's the thing, and listen, smart people have said this, smart NFL people, and John, you and I have said it on the outside looking in. The rest of this season needed to be about seeing what you've got with Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders for what you spent on them in terms of draft capital. Now, here's the thing. If Dylan Gabriel goes nuts, he takes over this team, Cleveland goes on a run, then no, you don't worry about seeing Shedeur,
mm-hmm.
because then you got something, okay? And maybe you got something.
Yep.
But the point is, that's what it should be about the rest of the season. And the fact that this guy can't get bumped up to number two, that you're going to, Shedeur, that is more on you than it is on him.
I totally agree.
This, I'm sure, will be piled from most people telling the story or whatever else. Oh, Shedeur must not be ready to be bumped up. bro, this is on Cleveland. It appears you had no plan on draft night when you did this, or you changed plans when you saw him still sitting there.
Yep.
But, you know, he could be the best. We don't know. We know he's got some you know, attitude issues, some professional, but he could be the best quarterback in your locker room.
Yep.
And you draft him in the fifth round, you need to find out. So this idea that you're not ready to bump him up to number two yet,
yeah,
that's on Stefanski and the Cleveland organization.
I agree. I don't really know. I don't really know what the point of drafting the kid was. You know, if you were really this reticent to even put him on the two on the depth chart,
is this a GM and Stefanski thing now? Where
I mean,
again, GM says I'm going
to
take him. I know you wanted Dylan Gabriel, and now Stefanski's sort of taking it out on Shadur.
Yeah, it has
you know?
To be.
That's what I mean. That you have to factor that in as a possibility here.
Yeah,
where the head coach said, "Man, that's not my guy." My guy's Dylan Gabriel.
Right.
You know, and we haven't had time to develop Shadur. But again, I tell you, that's got to go back up to the GM. All those guys have to be on the same page.
Yes.
It's a joke.
Did you see what Deion was asked about it yesterday? And he said, man, I don't give a damn about the, I don't give a darn. He said, I don't give a darn about the Cleveland Browns. Now, I love me some Shadur Sanders, but I don't give a darn about the Cleveland Browns. It's funny. It was a good, he obviously is not thrilled with the way it's been handled either.
What's crazy is this is that, you know, you have Deshaun on the unable to perform list, a whole nother quarterback that you've paid all the money to. I mean, that's what makes this even more silly.
Forgot about him.
All of this mess.
Mess.
I totally forgot about Deshaun
Watson. Forgot about Deshaun Watson, that he's on the physically unable to perform list with all the money that them dudes are trying to get and earn and trying to.
No, Deshaun Watson is
in the same organization, guys.
That's insane.
So, please, I mean, again, if you can show me the plan out of this mess, I'd love to be educated on it. I there's nothing here. There's nothing here that looks like it's a competent plan.
This is definitely like, I mean, it's like if it doesn't matter. If you play Cleveland Browns, if you play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, you're just going to stink. It's like you put that uniform on and your
it's
abilities
been that way for a while.
Are taken from you. Deshaun Watson, now I know he had the massage thing, and it was terrible. And you know, whether he served his time for that, I will leave between you and your moral compass, okay? But that dude, when he got the deal in Cleveland, was coming off of one of the best years for a quarterback ever in 2020. I mean, this dude was freaking unbelievable. He had 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, 444 yards on the ground. Literally, one of the single greatest. We were talking about Joe Burrow last year. I mean, this was a Burrow-esque season.
Yeah.
And since then, he's played three seasons. Obviously, had to sit out all of 2021 and most of 2022 for the suspension. But and then they have like
got hurt.
Yeah, I got hurt as well.
Damn.
Yeah. Since then, in three seasons, again, hasn't played a full 16, but he's played 19, not even close to 4,800 yards. Not even close to 33 touchdowns. Has thrown 12 picks in those combined three seasons, though. I don't know, bro. Something happened to that dude. And I know maybe it's the, you know, karma and whatever, but there was a time where Deshaun Watson was on his way to being
absolutely
a face of the league. One of the better quarterbacks in the entire league. Look at what he did his first 4 years in Houston. 19 touchdowns, 8 picks. 26 touchdowns and 9 picks. 26 touchdowns, 12 picks. 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. This dude was awesome. And he goes to Cleveland. And maybe it's the injury, and maybe it's a combination of things. But my God, man, that is a devastating bet that you made that has backfired by the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
When they pay him like $300 million or something.
It was 200 something guaranteed at the time. It was the
most. Yeah.
230 or 220 guaranteed at the time, something like that. I'm trying to remember.
Just pretty, I mean, that fall off is probably as precipitous as any quarterback we've ever seen in terms of ability. I mean, I know there's some guys that had some slumps, you know.
No, it's up there.
But not like this, bro. Not to go from face of the franchise to can't even beat out Dylan Gabriel or, you know, whatever. I know he's hurt, but he probably wouldn't be able to in 2025. Anyway, yeah, it's not a good organization if you're a quarterback. Just not. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Rob Doster is going to join us on the other side. Not on the other side, but at some point, 125, he will join us, and we'll talk to him about the NCAA tournament, about Memphis, about the American, lots more. Jason and John, I'm trying to find ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that October is financial planning month? I'll tell you what, Leaders got a good plan for you. Leaders is great for you. The credit union, if you didn't know, that's here for our listeners. We're a part of the family. I mean the Smith family, because I got a little CJ, a future Leaders savings account. And listen, we're part of a big family, 70,000 plus members in West Tennessee and growing. Got a new branch in Arlington, got the regular branch in Bartlett, and growing. And again, financial planning month means that you get in there with Leaders, whether it's, you know, getting your credit score up, putting together a budget, a better budget for yourself. Maybe that's been a little off. They've got the folks in there, the financial champions in there that'll be happy to help you put that plan together. They know you've got questions. Some of them too often go unanswered. Get them answered. Learn more at leaderscu.com/ESPN. They've got a bunch that they can do for you. In a lot of cases, better rates than your bank, whether that's a mortgages, car loans, whatever it is. Leaders is your financial champion for life, and Leaders is federally insured by the NCUA.
All right, back. Rob Dosh is going to join us at 1:25. Talk Memphis hoops with him. Always a good time. Do want to give a quick shout out to a friend of the show. We used to have him on all the time. Not as much anymore, as he's sort of added new show responsibilities and things like that. But Our friend Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, former ESPN NFL analyst, has been doing Houston radio as part of Houston Sports Talk 790, which is not an Odyssey brand, but it is a sports station down there in Houston. He announced today that he was part of the iHeartRadio layoffs that have been taking place over the last couple of days. And he said, "It's been a hell of a run the last 8 years at Sports Talk 790. I fully understand the financial decisions that corporate has to make. I appreciate the great boss at iHeart that I got to work with and here in Houston who have become friends too. Very grateful for good coworkers and the talent you hear daily on the Sports Talk 790 lineup. I'm so blessed to have worked with special teammates, friends on my show every morning. You know my love for you guys. Massive thanks to the phenomenal partners and sponsors who trust me with your teams and companies daily. I never take that responsibility lightly. For my soul, I want to thank listeners, fans, supporters, friends who became family. You brought great laughs and passion to my show." So, you know, iHeart is doing another round of layoffs today and tomorrow ahead of their quarter three earnings is the reporting that I have read. Obviously, we're an Odyssey radio station here. We have been touched by these you know, layoffs over the years, right? There's no doubt about it. And they are painful. They are absolutely painful. And my heart is with Sean here. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's got some other things that he's doing. Good. But, you know, dude, this is tough business, man. And I will say, like, as part of these, you know, Brad knows it too. He can speak to it. Whole sports stations are being flipped. Like, there's a sports station in Milwaukee that is just completely flipping. They've got programming all day. I think they carry the Green Bay Packers, right, Brad? They carry the Packers, man.
Yes.
And they are flipping the damn station from sports to music. And so it does make me very grateful that, you know, look, we've been through lots of rounds of layoffs here at Odyssey. We're not immune to the financial headwinds that are going on around the country right now. But, I mean, Brad, I think one of the things that you have to be proud of here is that 92.9 as a programming, I don't believe, has ever been touched by them. I mean, it's been preserved.
Not since these round of layoffs in the, you know, obviously Odyssey went private. So we're no longer publicly traded. But, you know, so far so good.
Right.
And we're going to keep battling. It's hard. It's hard to do. We rely on our partners. We rely on you guys. But we rely mostly on our listeners to support this thing. It's not BS when you guys hear me say thank you for listening or thanks to our partners. Like, that's not BS. I think people think it's like wallpaper to people. Like,
right.
Literally, if you don't listen, And literally, if a guy like Robert Irwin Jewelers and Howie don't support us with ad revenue,
that's right,
we can't pay the benefits to our employees, and we can't fund the midday show, and we can't fund the station. It's that simple. And by the way, they're getting rid of it because it's easy to do. It's a lot easier to program music, folks. I've done it a lot of all my career.
Yep.
So we're grateful. I don't mean to go on that side. No, but so I'm glad you brought this to the table. I mean, Sean's a friend of the show. He's worked in this business a long time. I've been fired before in this business. Often we are in this business. It happens, but it's difficult. Yes.
It's a testament to, you know, the audience and the sponsors that continue to make this all possible.
By the way, in an era where I'm sorry to cut you off, but in an era where you need to be able to turn on the free radio and do this, that's the key. You know, you have to power the tower. You know, somebody in South Memphis with a radio can light this thing up without Wi-Fi. Sorry, continue.
No, I mean the radio is free, but the people that work there don't do it for free. No,
we have an engineer at the tower.
That's right. And so, you know, it's don't take it for granted.
I think that's a fair statement, folks.
Listen to
what you're saying. Listen to what John is saying. Do not take it for granted.
I mean, I know that, you know, people have gotten used to, you know, 92.9 being a thing, but there could come a day when if X, Y, and Z happens, it's not. You know, I mean, that's just the reality.
Fair.
So, and I don't know. Listen, I don't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.